Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. All right, so today we are starting a teaching series on loneliness, and just to start with a personal word. Years ago, my family and I, we wanted to go to Europe. We believe that travel is the best education you can give kids. And so we planned this trip for years and saved up our pennies, and we finally got to take them on some of the big cities of Europe. And the plan was that we would travel together for a while, then my family would come back to the States while I stayed behind in England to do some time of study. And I'm not gonna lie to you, if you've ever traveled with kids for a long period of time, yeah. So the word travel actually comes from the old English word travail. Travail was a three-pronged instrument of torture. And if you have three kids and you're traveling with them, that's pretty much what it feels like. So I'm not going to lie to you. There were a couple of times during that trip, I was like, you know, I'm really looking forward when the kids get on the plane, go back to the States, and I can study, right? And I can continue to advance my education. So that day finally came. And I put them on a train to go to Heathrow Airport, kissed my wife, patted all the kids on the head, stepped off the train, and as the train pulled away, something happened that I was not prepared for. To this day, I still call it the loneliest moment of my life. I wasn't prepared, as everything I knew, as the people I loved most, pulled away from the station, and I was left behind. Now, I'm not a lonely person by disposition, okay? In fact, I tend to be an introvert, so that by itself just does not really lend to being a lonely person. But that was the loneliest moment of my life. And for me, what was a one-off event, for many of you here in this room, may be your ongoing existence. And we've talked about what loneliness is. I just mentioned this last week. It's that gap between the intimacy that you want and the intimacy that you have, or the connection, the friendship that you want and have. But really, it's more than just that gap. It's the distress and the discomfort caused by that gap. And I want to present to you the problem, because I've been doing a lot of research and preparation on loneliness, and I don't want to inundate you with statistics, but I think all of this is valuable. Loneliness among young adults has increased every year since 1976. It continues to go up. That's only been exacerbated by our political divides, by the polarization of our culture. People are becoming isolated from one another, even within their own family, over political discussions. And so loneliness is only increasing. On top of that, you have the effects of social media. Now, social media is just a bellwether here, but if you spend less than 30 minutes a day on social media, chances are you're not lonely. But if you spend more than 2 hours a day on social media, every indicator is you are suffering from loneliness. And it's trying to cure loneliness by being on social media is like trying to drink salt water to quench your thirst. It just leaves you longing for more. But here's the statistic that I keep running into. And recently, the Surgeon General, in his report on loneliness, cited this, and it's been cited several times. Loneliness has the same physical effect as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Now, I've never smoked 15 cigarettes a day. My cap was 14, that's the most, okay? But if I were to smoke 15 cigarettes a day, long term, I would not be a healthy individual. So to cap all this off, let me quote Mother Teresa. It's actually a young man named Kelly Pilladino. He is now pastoral care fellow at Yale New Haven Medical Center. But back 30 years ago, he was a graduate student, and he went off to work with the Sisters of Charity over in India, and he met Mother Teresa. And what he said, what he told Mother Teresa is, "I can't wait to get my degrees, because then I'm going to go to one of the toughest parts of the world and minister to the sick and dying." And Mother Teresa said, "Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to leave the United States?" She said this: "There's a poverty in the United States that parallels, and if it's not even greater than the poverty of any other nation, it's the poverty of relationships." She says, "We deal with leprosy What you have in America, she said, I call it the leprosy of loneliness. And it's a pandemic. So, given Mother Teresa's comments, I thought it would be appropriate for us to begin this teaching series by looking at an actual leper from the scripture. Because what we see in this nameless leper, I think, parallels to the loneliness that we deal with, the sickness that we face in our own culture. So I'm going to be in Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 40. And one of the reasons I like this particular passage is the cast of characters is exactly two. There's Jesus and this lonely individual. And maybe you could even put yourself into this scene. This is Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him, that is Jesus, and begged him on his knees. He's desperate. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, I think it's important here. Let's talk about what leprosy looked like in the first century. According to the rules of society and the biblical rules in those days, if you were a leper, you had to go around, and everywhere you went, if you crossed paths with other people, you had to cry out with your voice, unclean, unclean, to announce to everyone that you had leprosy. Now, if you're lonely today, I would not encourage you to go around shouting to people that you're lonely. That's probably going to scare other people off. But at the same shame-based confession, if you are lonely, the reason you don't want people to know about that is they're going to think something is wrong with you. Can I tell you that loneliness is not unnatural? We have a hunger for relationships just like we have a hunger for food or a thirst for water. In fact, right here in the first service, we did a new member's breakfast this morning. And just when I got to this point in the message, they were cooking the bacon downstairs and it started wafting upstairs right here. It's a perfect illustration, you know. And now I lost everyone's attention in the first service after smelling that bacon. Hunger is not bad. Thirst is not bad. It's natural. So is that hunger and thirst for a relationship. And when it's not met, it results in loneliness. Nor is loneliness unspiritual. You look at any person in the Bible. In fact, I would go back to Adam. First time God said something is not good is when Adam was by himself. That was before the fall. So there's nothing sinful or unspiritual about loneliness. What I want you to hear is, if you deal with loneliness, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not defective. You're not useless. Your existence is not a mistake. Okay. So, that's the opposite of what we often tell ourselves, because we think that loneliness is, and here's my two favorite words today, impossibly incurable. Impossibly incurable. That's what you feel. Okay? That's just not the case. So then it says in verse 41, Jesus was indignant. He saw this man. He heard his plea for help. He knew he was a leper, and he was indignant. Now, your translation may say something a little bit different here, because it's hard to know how to translate this word. This very same word in the Greek could mean compassionate. Jesus had compassion, or it could mean angry. And so my translators here have split the difference, and they say he's indignant, not knowing exactly what Jesus feels. But what we do know is this, that Jesus is not indignant about the man. He's not indignant about his leprosy. He's indignant with the situation. Jesus says, this is no way for you to live, going around crying out unclean and being cut off outside. And that was another part of the leprosy, was according to the Levitical law. Boy, that's tough to say when you've had 8 cups of coffee this morning. According to the Levitical law, you had to live outside of society, outside the camp, outside the village, outside the town. Jesus is indignant at this man's situation. If you know someone who is lonely, please don't give them the advice, oh, you just need to be involved in more things. That is not helpful. Okay, here's why. Because it's as easy to be lonely in a crowd as it is at home by yourself. Right? It's not getting involved in more things that makes the difference. It's how you are involved in those things that will make the difference. Jesus is indignant at this man's situation. The society and circumstances have conspired together to cut him off from the relationships that we most need. So here's what he does. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. So we have a need for appropriate human touch. In fact, just to prepare you for this, at the end of our worship time today, we're going to have a little bit of a longer response time. Every now and then we do this on a Sunday morning where if you have a need for healing, and it may be relational healing, it may be social healing, it may be emotional, it may be mental, it may be physical, then you'll have the opportunity to come down the aisle and for me just to anoint you with oil. Right there, some of you, your blood pressure just went up a little bit. You're getting nervous about that already. It's not meant to be showy. It's not meant to be anything that's a spectacle. It's just we need sometimes another person to touch us appropriately and to speak words of truth over our life. I believe that Jesus still touches people and their hearts and their lives to this very day. And it doesn't matter where you are. Listen, loneliness takes a whole lot of different forms. For instance, there's a loneliness that comes with leadership. If you're a leader in your family, or if you're a leader in your organization, or in any other institution you're a part of, there's a loneliness that only that leader knows. And you only know it if you sit in that first chair. And that's just a part of what you sign up for in leadership. There's a loneliness there. There's a loneliness that comes from illness. If you are in pain, it's hard to feel like making nice with other people, right? And relationships suffer. You just don't have that much to give. There's a loneliness that comes with age. So as we get older, I loved it when Nathan called Stuart old. That just felt really good. It felt really gratifying. But if you get to that grandparent age, right? And your friends start dying, and if you're not in the discipline of making new relationships pretty soon, and then if your spouse passes away, all of a sudden now you are very, very lonely, right? I want you to know that Jesus looks with indignance on this situation. He doesn't want you to live this way. There's nothing wrong with you, but he doesn't want you to live this way. So Jesus reached out and touched him and said, "Be clean." Here's the word I have a problem with in verse 42. Immediately the leprosy left him. I wish loneliness worked like this. That today if you're lonely, you discover, hey, there's nothing wrong with me. This is not what God's best is. I wish there was a one-touch cure. And there may be for some people. But here's the deal. If you're lonely, you've been drifting away from people for a long, long time, and the fix won't happen easily and it won't happen overnight. It's very, very interesting what science is able to do and what they're able to measure. We talked about the eclipse earlier. Scientists are able to measure the exact distance the moon is from the Earth. And what they're noticing is that the moon is continuing to pull away from the Earth, get this, at the rate, at the speed at which a fingernail grows. You're supposed to go, ah, ooh, right there. The moon's pulling away, which over our lifetime, we won't notice the difference. But if we could revisit the Earth a billion years from now, it will have gone, pulling away a little bit at a time. So if you're pulling away from people, it's going to take a while for you to stop and to reverse that momentum, to reverse that that inertia, to reverse that movement and start moving back toward people again. And I hope here in a few minutes to give you some very simple steps in order to do that. But immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean. So verse 43, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. Now here's my favorite word of this passage. Strong warning is a Greek word that comes from the snorting of a horse. Okay. We like to think that Jesus was always soft and encouraging and nice, but there are times where he shot straight with a person. If I were to translate this into terms that we can understand, if you had a parent or a teacher pull down their glasses and look at you over the top rim, you're in trouble. And Jesus looks at him And I don't know exactly what he said, but he probably said something like this: "Don't you dare go out and tell people what I've done for you." Now, there's a reason Jesus gave that command. And we often think, oh, he went out to tell people about Jesus. That's good. No, he disobeyed Christ is what he did, because Jesus did not want to get a reputation for just being a physical healer. He was more about curing the whole person, of which our physical aspect is a part of that. But just know that Jesus wants to address all of who you are, relationally, mentally, emotionally, physically. He wants you and I to be made whole in a right relationship with God. Instead, verse 45, he went out, began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed out, interesting, in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So I want to take a play out of Jesus's book here. If Jesus snorted, if he had a strong warning, if he looked over the glasses, I want to take that same approach with those of you here in the room who might find yourself lonely today. The best thing I can do for you is to shoot straight with you. You won't heal yourself by focusing on yourself. Yourself will not be healed if you continue to focus on you. In fact, another way of saying this, if self-focus could cure your loneliness, you would be better by now. But that's not what's going to work. So here's some very practical grassroots advice. If you're lonely, stop obsessing about yourself and become more interested in other people. I know that's hard to do because you have emotional needs that aren't being met, but you are not going to cure yourself by focusing on yourself. Your attention has to turn toward other people. I've done this little experiment. Fortunately, I've only had to do this 3 times in my whole career as a pastor. Meet somebody new here, take them out for coffee, sit down and have a conversation. On 3 occasions, every time I tried to say something or offer or ask a question, I was cut off and the person was monologuing. So after being frustrated initially, what I decided to do was to say, how long will this person talk without me saying a word? Look down at my watch. I thought about starting to take a stopwatch with me. Click, click. Just keep on going. The record's 25 minutes, by the way. Complete monologue. Now, I know this doesn't sound very spiritual, but do you think I'm going to go out for coffee with that person again? No. They sucked me dry. I got nothing left to give, and almost that's the issue. That whenever they find somebody, they suck all the life out of them because the needs are so great. And if anyone gets too close, they go, I'm not going back there again. Listen, I'm just shooting straight with you. I'm looking over the rim of the glasses. You're not going to cure yourself by focusing on yourself. So instead of focusing on your needs, start focusing on others. Instead of obsessing about you, become interested in others. The next time you start a conversation, just do this. Tell me about yourself. What do you enjoy? And focus on that person. Become curious about other people, and that will make you more interesting to them. On a parallel vein, quit worrying about, it's hard to say, I sound a little harsh. You need to make a decision to stop focusing on the needs that you have that aren't being met and start meeting the needs of others and serve them. Okay. In other words, instead of saying, well, I went to the church and nobody talked to me. For you to be the one that makes the first move, for you to walk in a room and just introduce yourself, and then to find a place or a person that you can serve. There's nothing that brings more meaning to our life than when we give ourselves away. In other words, if you can't feel God in your life, if you can't feel Christ, be Christ to somebody else. Instead of obsessing about yourself, be interested in them. Instead of waiting for people to serve you, you serve them. And now here's the toughest thing. You need to do the very last thing you feel like doing. Let me explain that just a bit. I have this conversation, same conversation, multiple times a year. I meet a person, they say, I'm lonely, I don't have relationships. I go, good news is, the church is perfectly designed for lonely people. because we have community groups that meet all over this campus. It's not what you would anticipate, kind of old school Sunday school. It is, we take the scripture and we try to understand the scripture in community, and we love each other while we're doing it. Let me connect you with a community group, and that person will say, 9 times out of 10, I'm not ready. Well, there's really nothing you can do at that point. Could it be that the thing you feel like least is the thing you need the most? And I know it's a risk to walk into the room, but you do it anyway. I know you feel like you don't have anything left to give, but somebody is going to have to make the first move, and it's you taking responsibility for your relational health and saying, when I walk into this room, I'm not going to obsess about me. I'm going to be interested in others. I'm not looking for how this can serve me. I'm going to serve someone else and begin to engage in relationships. I'll say it again. You will not cure yourself by focusing on yourself. And desperate times call for clear decisions. Remember, there's nothing wrong with you. And Jesus can heal, but he wants your cooperation in this as well. So, C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, this is one of the 6 books that make up the Chronicles of Narnia. We meet a young man named Eustace. Eustace, early in life, was deceived. And he was told that if he wore a thick skin, that his life would be good. Well, the skin became unbearable to wear. It was protective, but he had no comfort. He had no peace. He had no ease. It was not easy to wear this thick skin. And so he tried to take it off himself several times, but found that every time he took off this thick skin, it just grew back again. So finally, little Eustace is spent. And all he can do now is lay still. And wouldn't you know, as soon as he stops, as soon as he lays still, Aslan, the lion, finds him and walks up to him and says, I can take that thick skin off of you if you will let me. Well, Eustace has tried everything on his own. I'll read what Lewis says at this point. Aslan takes his claw. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right to my heart. And when he began pulling away the skin, it hurt like nothing I had ever felt before. The only thing that made me able to bear it was the pleasure of feeling the thick skin of a dragon peel off. You know that feeling if you, I love Lewis, if you've ever picked a scab, it hurts like billy-o. I don't know what billy-o is, but that hurts. But it was such fun to see it coming away. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off. And there it was, that skin lying in the grass, only it was thicker, darker, and more knobby looking than I had imagined. And there I was, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch, but smaller than I was before. Then Aslan caught a hold of me. I didn't much like it because I was very tender underneath now that I had no thick skin on. And Aslan threw me into the water. This is a symbol of getting rid of sin and plunging into the waters of baptism. He threw me into the water. It smarted like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious, and I soon started to swim and splash. I found the pain was completely gone, and then I saw why. I turned into a boy again. So I have this little logo behind me that we're using for the Unlonely series. When our graphic artist, Greg Dean, designed this, kind of added his own flair to it, and I noticed he put a red individual there in the bottom corner, one that stands out. And when I looked at it at first, I thought, well, that'll be a really good symbol. If you feel like that you're lonely, you're the only one, that's you over there. But I thought there's another way of looking at this, too. Maybe the cure for loneliness is not being like you're that lonely person over there. Maybe that red individual down there is Christ, and he is the only one that can touch us and free us and make us people again and make us people who live in a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. perhaps he is the only one. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for a little time around your word and around this event of your life. Jesus, we don't know the name of this leper who you met or what the rest of his story was. But we know that many of us here in this room are suffering and we need a touch of healing from you. So thank you that if we were the only one in the world, that you would pay attention to us. Thank you for your love for us, for your healing power and your touch that still works in our lives and in this room today. Jesus, it is in your name we offer our prayer. Amen. So now we come to a time of healing. And we're just going to take some time and worship together. And if you don't have a need in your life right now, it's okay for you just to stay exactly where you are. I would encourage you, for those who are coming down, if you kind of see people, don't stare at people. But if you see people moving, then just lift them to the presence of God for just a few moments. Just pray for them, those who come down for healing. Now, if you do need healing today, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever regard, you can just stand up while we sing, come down the middle aisle. I just have a very simple vial of olive oil. Oil is used in the Bible as a symbol of healing. Oil is soothing, isn't it? And just so you'll know, I'm just going to make the sign of the cross with this oil on your forehead and pray a blessing over you, that church blessing that we often use. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I'm going to turn that just a bit into a blessing for healing. This is not meant to be magic or superstitious or mysterious. This is just meant to be you physically representing, Jesus, I need your touch in my life today. Let's stand together. Let's worship the Lord together. And if you need to come forward for healing, you are free to do so right now.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. And may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.